There'll be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. And a reminder, just like it's always been, you can chime in at 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a text or a phone call. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, of course, you can leave us one of those talkback messages as well. All right, to shift gears here on the show and talk about, you know, it's real interesting, too, because over the years of this show, when I mentioned oysters, number one, those of us that love to eat oysters, pretty big fan base out there in y'all. And then the number of people here that are either, that listen to the station, that are either tonguing oysters or have oyster farms has always amazed me. I don't think there's the Nielsen rating folks, if they can break it down, they don't have that category. My account executives in the back, if we can talk to Nielsen, if they can do some carve out for how we index, that's the term in this business, like how do you index as a media property for certain things? If Nielsen did it, I think we'd index higher than any other property in media in our area for oyster fans. So you're in the right place. And it's good to see my friend to talk about some oysters. And when I say my old friend, I mean, we've just known each other for a long time. It doesn't mean we're not old, right, Kendall?
No, not at all, Sean.
Kendall Destra with the Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you for having us on the show. Opportunity to speak about this event.
Oysters. Oysters. I mean, I was never going to say no when you said, hey, Sean, I want to come on and talk about oysters. I mean, I'm in. This is year two for this event?
Our second year, yes.
And the event is coming up at the end of October.
October 25th, which is a Saturday, down at the Icebox downtown.
Good spot?
Good spot it is.
And what's going to happen here? I have a feeling if y'all, maybe I led with the lead and didn't bury the lead, this is about eating some oysters.
Well, Sean, it's about two things. And it's our second year to do that. And if I get winded with my talk, I apologize. I like to talk about it. It's a very exciting topic for me. To really get started, if I can look back for last year, we had a group looking around, and we had been introduced to oysters, and we had met some of the oyster farmers, and we decided that we should learn a little bit about it, and we decided our organization.
And I need to stop, too, and not push past that. People who are not familiar with Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association, what is the slug line for the group?
Well, Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association, we've been around since 1937, and you know, kind of our goal is to try to introduce people to the basic tenets of conservation here with the natural resources that we enjoy in Mobile. But in this particular event, the focus, we dabbled a little bit with oyster restoration with the Eagle Project. We'd put some of the Eagle Reefs down along the bay with youth, and it was fun projects. We ended with celebrated our efforts by eating oysters, and we realized that, you know, oysters in Mobile, it's a great opportunity to think about celebrations. So all the places you eat them are always at a good time. Mm-hmm. And we had an opportunity to talk to one of the farmers. And in doing so, it opened up our eyes to what's going on with the craft of boutique oysters in Mobile. So we decided, let's have a little function geared specifically to oysters. Now, our group, as you know, is typically a fun group of people that are not afraid to get their hands dirty, but like to have fun in the mm-hmm. process, and food is always part of an event. In this case, it was oysters. Well, in doing our research and starting to plan our event, I had a great opportunity to speak with Rusty Grice, who is with the Shell Lab down on Dolphin Island. And when I mentioned his what I was trying to do, he smiled and he said, "Kendall, Mobile really has a big need for an opportunity to bring exposure to the oyster farms." He said, "It's a wonderful community. And what you're looking at doing has a bigger opportunity than just a small group." He gave me a list of, I think, all the oyster farmers here in Mobile, along the bay and in the Sound. And we started reaching out to them. And the response was very positive. We got a lot of commitments. I think last year it was 6 farms. We started looking for sponsors to help pay the cost. And everybody we spoke to immediately was on board. And the first year it was in August, and unfortunately, August is a hot time, yes. And trying to find a place indoors that will hold 6 oyster farms or willing to bring the farms in and have a crowd are minimal. Max and McKenzie down at the Icebox or at the Velvet Pig were foolish enough to listen to our idea. And gave us
suckers.
They gave us the go ahead, and we made that our home for last year. And we had a vision. We set a goal of 250 people. We immediately filled it out. During the course of the day, I think we shucked 4,200 oysters. Went quickly, but everybody had as many as they could. I think it went there. We had speakers. We had 5 different voices: Tim Gothard with Alabama Wildlife, Scott Bannon with Alabama Department of Conservation. We had Chris Nelson with Bond Secure Fisheries, Rusty Grice with the Sea Lab or with the Auburn Exchange down there. And then we had Barry and Doug Ankerson, who have Isle Dauphine. And they were able to give us 5 great perspectives on oyster farming in Mobile Bay. And the event was good and great, and we decided we'd do it again this year. And that's what we're doing. The event right now is important to us, but we're moving in the right direction. I think, Sean, we have room for 600 people. We have tickets going on sale now, and I feel comfortable that we'll sell our tickets soon. So if you're interested, you know, please.
Where do you go get the tickets?
The tickets, the 2 best places to get tickets, if you go to the Velvet Pig, there's a poster on the wall with a QR code, link into it, and buy your ticket. And while you're at the Velvet Pig, get you a sandwich.
Yep.
The other thing, we have tickets. We'll have that same program or display. It'll be at Breda River. Stop in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we encourage you.
Have a cold beverage, maybe.
Have a cold beverage and, you know, and visit them, support them who are supporting this program.
And I tell you what, we're going to try, because you sent me a PDF of the flyer, right, too, that's got the QR code on it. I can share that as well. And we'll try to get that on our social media feeds here over the weekend. Is that on the Mobile County Wildlife
Conservation
Association?
We're in the process of redoing our Mobile County Wildlife website.
Okay.
We're going to launch soon. It's closed, and it'll be here before.
I'll tell you what, y'all, if you're listening right now, I want the information. I'll just cut and paste into the text line, too, with up till 2 o'clock. I'll cut and paste in and send them to y'all, and if not, we'll put them up on our social media so you can get the
fantastic.
Get the ticket. So here's what I'm wondering. First of all, Kendall, so last year y'all shucked 4,200 oysters, and there were 250 people. You're talking about 600 people. Are you bringing in some shucking specialists here? Because if it was 4,200, you're the math guy. You know I'm not. You and I are split on that. But it's going to be more than 4,200 getting shucked.
No, we've set high goals for this.
Anybody set and shucked a half a sack of oysters for friends knows what they did. 4,200 last year. I'm slack jawed.
We've got right now. We have 7 different farms.
Okay.
That'll be participating. And if it were volunteers such as myself, it's not a possible feat. One of the things that our goal in putting together this organization is that we don't want lines.
Yeah.
You know, we want people to be able to have immediate access to the oysters. We wanted to be able to eat as many as they can. At the end of the day, we want the oyster farmers to realize that they really pushed a lot of their product.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers that will be helping them, and each farm will bring their specialists. So we feel comfortable that we'll be able to shuck a bunch of them. We also be frying some oysters as well. You know, the shucked oysters, those are, you know, the craft, the farmed oysters, but you also have wild oysters, which are such an important part of, you know, what we're trying to promote, the oysteries in general.
You know, it's cool to think about. So, you know, I'm a fan of deep history here, even beyond our 300 years, back to Native Americans here. And when they do the digs, whether it be up the bay here or down on Dauphin Island, what Native Americans were eating here? Oysters.
Yeah.
I mean, they said, we're digging deeper and deeper and finding deeper history. And guess what they were doing? Eating oysters. And here we are in 2025, and we're eating oysters. I mean, as a food that is like any human living here is digging, I mean, from early beyond time to now, it's oysters.
Well, the thing about it, too, I mean, one, they're great, they're tasty and all that. I think the nutritional value is great. But think about the trouble you have to go to get to eat an oyster.
Yeah.
And the fact that people were willing to do that is a solid testament to.
They didn't have shucking knives, but they were getting oysters, man.
Yeah, that's right. It's crazy. And all. But they do it. Another thing, though, Sean, and this is what I think is really important, is that, you know, in Mobile, and I mean, think about the times you've talked about this on your show. If you take the word industry and you take the word Mobile Bay, you know, your thoughts are immediately going to go into a negative spin, mm-hmm. because industry and environment typically have a negative connotation. However, if you look at the oyster farm industry, mm-hmm. that is one that if you love or benefit or enjoy the quality of Mobile Bay, that's an industry that you need to get behind. You know, the oyster reefs, the farms themselves, they do so much to enhance the water quality of Mobile Bay.
What other industry do you say, hey, there's an industry that's that improves water quality?
Exactly.
I mean, you're right. That's not, I think it's probably the only one.
It is, and it's crazy. I've had times, you know, when I get the oysters that are grown in Mobile at the Bay at these farms or the Mississippi Sound, you know, it's typically at a special event. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find them in a restaurant. It's very hard to go into a sea shoot, you know, to be able to purchase them, you know, and I think that in Mobile, if you rely on the quality of your life for Mobile Bay or the Mississippi, whether you're speckled trout fishing or whatever, you need to support these people. And the best way to support them is going to your restaurants, wherever, and say, hey, can I get some oysters that were grown in Mobile Bay?
Oh, yeah. If you ask for them enough, and it's crazy. I mean, I can't speak for all the farmers, but one of the oyster farmers is a buddy of mine. And to think about, probably more of his product goes elsewhere. There's people in other cities that know more about it than do here at home.
And it is. And I think in speaking with a lot of these farms, you know, they do. They sell the product. You can get them outside of Mobile. And it's great. I have a daughter that lives in Austin, Texas, and she called me up one day, and she had been somewhere at a fun bar restaurant in Austin, Texas, that were promoting oysters specifically grown in Mobile Bay. And that was a selling point, that these were coming from what is slowly but surely becoming a renowned place for oyster growth. You talk about the oysters, I mean, to some of the farms, and they'll talk about how Mobile Bay is perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, they grow quickly down here. They're healthy. They're tasty. Everything that's good about it. It's a great breeding ground for the oyster industry here in Mobile. You know, and Sean, another thing, and this is what, you know, you talk about the Indians or whomever before mm-hmm. us, you know, the culture that's associated with oysters. And then you start talking to these different farms and the people that are running it. You know, the things that I've learned in the past year, and I'm new to this, but in the past year and a half in my conversations with them, is that you look at the farmers themselves. You know, their ages range from 70 to maybe 28, mm-hmm. okay? There's a lot of science involved with the backgrounds of how these people got here. They're very focused on what they're doing. They're innovative. Their character is fantastic. They got a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they got strong work ethics. They're proud of what they do, and given an opportunity to speak about their farms and their industry, it's just their stories, each and every one of them.
So we're not only going to be enjoying the oysters, we're going to be getting a lesson in that at the event as well.
Yeah, we will. You know, last year we had the five speakers, and we had a limited amount of time. As this thing grows, it would be great to have a specific educational component that allowed, you know, several hours for people to really learn about the science that goes into it. You know, at this event, and we were hoping to do it last year to give the farmers opportunity to speak about, you know, their product, how they got into it, but share their stories with our guests. You know, however, you know, once they get their, you know, nose to the grindstone and start cracking open the oysters,
right,
that was their focus. You know, in it, the kind of some of the challenges or criticism leading up into it is that you would hear, oh, well, I've had oysters before. And you would look at them and say, well, that's great, but this is, you know, different. Each one has a little bit a different characteristic to it. And you could go and—
Which is, yeah, that, I tell you what, can you hold on? Let's go to the break because I want to have a second to talk about that before we run out of time because— The first time I heard this, I was like, because you're not growing up here, you just said oysters. And then they say, well, this oyster from the Sound tastes a little bit differently than this one from the island. It's coming right back. More with Kendall Dexter.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A few more minutes with my buddy Kendall Dexter, Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association. The event coming up on October 25th, the Oyster Ball Fundraiser. Getting questions here. Once again, y'all, tickets available. Velvet Pig right now, right?
On Frater River. They can stop in there this afternoon, but come quick. They'll sell quick.
Okay. And also, we'll put these, the QR code up for y'all if you want to scan it through and get those tickets bought. A couple, by the way, people have been there last year. Let's see. How many oysters are in each sack are y'all bringing? I don't know what the number. I mean, because you all said you shucked 4,200 last year, so I don't know what it's going to be.
We've got 7 farms lined up, and we're asking each farm to bring, you know, 1,500 oysters.
Okay.
So we would love to thank it. And again, it goes down to numbers, and I hate to put quantity over quality. This is going to be quality. But we feel if we get the quantity high enough that maybe, you know, some of the restaurants will take note and realize there is a bigger demand for the oysters grown in Mobile Bay and the Mississippi Sound and start to put them on their menus.
We mentioned right before the break, and this is the funny thing. You grow up here, we ate oysters, got oysters. I never actually even asked, like, what part of the – where? I mean, you just had oysters. Hey, they're good, you know, good oysters. Now it's – and when I was first told about this, I was like, yeah, right. They're like, oh, so-and-so's oysters taste this way. And somebody – I honestly came into it completely skeptical because I said, oyster is an oyster is an oyster. Absolutely, there's differences. Like one, they said, well, this one's more buttery and this one's more – I'm like, well, it is. Wow.
No, and it's very much so, and it's funny. We've had some good – some people that really do eat a lot of them, and you could stand in a group and – 2 or 3 different people at any given time would say, have you tried this oyster or have you tried that oyster? And everybody seemed to have their favorite. And, you know, some that came from Coden tasted a little bit different than the ones that were from, Navy Cove area. Yeah,
right,
and
but I mean,
in the Bay.
But before you had them, were you like me? Because when I was first told, I was like, there's no way they taste different.
Slowly but surely, I was educated.
I agree with you now. I had to learn. But, I mean, when I came into it and they said, this is going to be different than the other one, I said, sure it is.
Well, when I think when I was at South Alabama, and it kind of shows my age, but we used to go Judge Roy Bean's on Tuesday night, and they had dime oysters, and they were, I guess, Appalachian oysters. And, you know, one of the fun things to do is to mix up the cocktail sauce and the crackers to get ready. And so how much of the oyster you were actually eating, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, those are poor man oysters. We have, before we even got the oysters, but the Kraft oysters from around here, I'll do them at our Christmas party for the station, and I said, y'all can do what you want. I'll have cocktail and crackers, but you have to eat a couple before that. And most people go, I don't need to put anything on these. These are fantastic.
No, they are. They're good. And then, Sean, if you don't mind, it also, you know, because there is the educational component, we do have Kayla Boyd.
She's
a rising star in the oyster industry, and she is she's educated. She's got a degree from Auburn University, a doctorate degree in fisheries, agriculture, and aquatic sciences. She's very energetic, and she will be, you know, and it is a great analogy. She, you know, at some point, she's kind of like we had Bob Shipp. Mm-hmm. Kayla will be up in the oyster industry. She'll be well known, and she'll be speaking. And what we've asked to do is ask her to speak about vision. Where are we headed with the oyster industry here in Mobile Bay? And if two other things, if we can get this in, is that, you know, from the fundraising point, we hope to raise money. We're going to put a lot back into making sure that everybody has a really good time. But a part of everything that is spent will go to a seed on spat reef replenishment. And then another program is that we just started, Mobile County Wildlife started a inner city fishing program, and funds will go to help stock ponds at certain parks in Mobile.
Oh, very good.
So, you know, kids that are fishing in the park actually have an opportunity to catch
some fish.
So you're eating oysters, you're supporting an industry and helping kids learn how to fish.
It's great stuff. Yeah. So the event coming up, this is a fun way to be part of that. But also, I mean, year round, Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association doing great things here. So people can get signed up and be part of it. Come to meetings, go and do activities out there.
Perfect. And I so appreciate our time here today.
I appreciate you, Kendall. Thank you very much. And we'll see you all out there. And once again, need more information on this or the QR code. How do you, too old to be QR coding, you get you the QR code so you can get your tickets. You can send me a text and I'll get you that link through. All right. Coming back, more Midday Mobile. Remember, 343-0106. And I'm going to give you your final warning, too, here. By tomorrow morning, you got to have your picks in for our College Pick'em contest. Dalton can probably correct me. The first game is that Dalton will tell me later. But go ahead and get them in today. Make sure you don't miss the weekend because I'm already 75th position. I'd hate for me to just go rocking it past you there. I think I'm top 10 by the end of this weekend, something like that. Get them in. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Quick to text here in just a little bit at 343-0106. And this man needs no introduction, but my job, as described here, is to give introductions. Special events coordinator and the man at UCP, it is my friend Wayne Dean. Good to see you, sir.
Always good to be here, Sean.
If you're here, I mean, it's not just for a call to, you know, come out and hang out. That means there's some event coming up as well. I mean, not that I don't want to see you come by.
That would be good if we could just do that one day. I don't know how your listeners would feel, but
yeah. But you came by because I'm going to guess there's a cool event coming up to benefit UCP of Mobile.
Yes, it's actually our premier event, mm-hmm. Food and Folly. And obviously, if you haven't heard of it, just by the name, you know it's got a Mardi Gras theme.
Mm-hmm.
And United Cerebral Palsy has been doing this for 16 years. So it goes back. I think they started it, a little small event in the Carnival Museum.
Okay.
And it's grown. It's been at Fort Whiting for years, and it's got so big now we've expanded into the side room, as I call it, at Fort Whiting. So we've got a one room full of restaurants and silent auction and wine grab, and another room full of beer and wine and spirits.
Yeah, I know people come for different reasons, the food, but I know the spirits part, too. People coming in for different high-end, you know, bourbons and those kind of drinks.
Yes, we've been very fortunate. We've had some of the Alabama-type spirits, like Judge Roy Bean and Clyde May participate. And then one of our faithful spirits is Tito's. They come every year. They support us not only at Food and Folly, but at other events. And they have a gentleman that prepares cocktails. So that was very popular last year.
And when Wayne means cocktails, it's not the, hey, here's some bourbon and I'm putting a Coke in it. It's, I mean, this is the stuff that's the...
Right. This is old-fashioned cocktails. You'd go when I was growing up, you'd go to a restaurant or a lounge and... It would be mixed there, you know. It was mm-hmm.
It's not just two ingredients.
No, it's not just bourbon and water or bourbon and Coke.
Right.
Or vodka and orange juice, nothing like that.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, maybe that's, I think it does come back some in the younger generation, maybe Generation X for me, we miss some of that because I think about my parents. They were big into like, they had all these names. I mean, remember they had the cocktail thing. They'd mix up, they'd have a little dinner party or something. They're mixing up all this stuff. And then the younger people, I think, are getting into it. Maybe it's just lost on a decade here, but it's back and it's pretty popular.
Yes. And we've been fortunate this year we have our local distillery, Diffish, is going to participate.
Very good. Food-wise here, like you said, the main room food, let's talk about that.
We've got 20, as of right now, we have 23 restaurants and or caterers that are going to participate. Anything from seafood to barbecue to even have the fruit and I forget the exact name. It's a strange name, but they have more than just fruit. That's down at the Guff Museum. They're participating. So anybody
so you
wants
just
to get
walk
any
through
kind
and
of
sample
food,
all these
sample, you know, walk through, as I call it, graze, or get a little plate, go back to a table or one of the bistro tables if you want to have a sip of your wine and while you eat. It's just a wonderful atmosphere. And, of course, the Excelsior Band will be there to entertain and at some point break out into a second line.
That is a little early, a little preview show for Mardi Gras coming up. This, of course, benefits UCP Mobile.
Right.
I like to do this with you every time because there's so much that y'all do that
yes.
I don't think everybody knows. So
no,
give us a taste of
no,
what
they
y'all
don't.
Do.
And sometimes I don't even think I know what we do because something new. I didn't know we did that. Our name is United Cerebral Palsy, but we do not limit our caring just to people that have had cerebral palsy or have cerebral palsy. We at one time, I think our former president counted 32 different disabilities that we had worked with, even though they're not cerebral palsy. And we work with basically newborns, early intervention, when our therapists and go into homes after a child has been born. I always say it's scary. If you got a new baby, and especially if it's a first baby, and if it's got a, if that child has disabilities, it's even more scary. And we can help there at birth, and start working with that family all the way through, you know, as they grow with that child, and as that child grows with them. We have a preschool on which is probably my favorite part because I get to interact with the kids. One unique thing about our preschool, we have peer kids in there. Kids that have no apparent disabilities that are enrolled in preschool by their parents to, one, help them grow in a diverse world,
right,
and two, help the kids that have disabilities grow in that diverse world. And it's
that's great.
Wonderful.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And we have a Camp Smile is probably our biggest event. It's in the summertime, and it always sells out. All ages go to Camp Smile. And we have an adult program.
And so, and this is the other stat here before we wrap up, too, the number of people y'all serve.
Yes, it's always interesting. It's somewhere now between 700 and 750 families each month.
Y'all think about that, plus what a family means for numbers of people. It's amazing footprint y'all have.
Yes, a family could be one, could be two, could be five. You know, think about your own family, you know, how many is in your family. But then think about the extended family. Your aunts, your uncles, and even your neighbors that are going to be interacting with that family, helping that family. The impact is tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. And y'all can come out, help this effort that's going on every day in our area for those 700 families, but you get to have a lot of fun while you're doing it.
The easiest way to get in touch with us is buy tickets, or just, if you can't come, just, you know, make a donation is website, ucpmobile.org.
Okay, and this is coming up once again, the date?
Next Thursday, the 16th.
Okay.
18th, I guess it is.
And that,
I'm moving too fast. It's the 18th.
The 18th, all right. We'll see you there. And Wayne, as always, man, we appreciate you coming by. And, yeah, come by some. But, you know, when he comes by, there's a fun event. But we have you in, even maybe when there's not an event coming up very soon.
Sure.
That's a deal. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 148 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Anna, did you know it was a Friday?
Yes, TGIF.
That's right. All right, as we kind of look here at the close of a week, although this story has been a heck of a story for the whole year, gold and silver prices, how are they looking?
They are up. And, you know, I can't complain. We've been super busy. Everybody's been buying and selling and trading stuff. So it's been fun. I'll just put it this way. I'm not going to say that I've been crazy all week, but I'm just going to say it was fun.
Well, good. And you mentioned part of that because we talk about people coming in, whether they're buying, you know, gold and silver, you know, from you just in the regular form there, or jewelry, people buying. But y'all are buying as well. I think that's something we need to talk about more because people have gold and silver, even if they've been keeping it, collecting it, want to sell it, or they've got, heck, not just jewelry. You said if they got silver flatware or something like that, that they're getting top dollar.
Oh, yeah, and paper money, older coins and things. I have people that have been bringing stuff in out of the attic. They're just, like, trying to minimize all their storage space or moving, the process of moving. They have coins they found that got passed down, and they have no idea what they're worth. We do free appraisals, so you have a choice of just finding out what it's worth, or you can sell it, whatever you want to do.
All right, well, good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street at Midtown Mobile, and we're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right, Anna, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's grab some text here. Let's see. And somebody asked me earlier on the text line, maybe this came in a while ago. I mentioned a lot of text line. I love phone calls, too. So 343-0106 for phones as well. That same number works for text and phone. All right. Let's see. Oyster Talk here. You know, it's maybe I need to give the shout out to my man Wayne and get him to come back on with us. That somebody's asking, are they truly different tasting? Listen, I didn't believe it either. Okay, well, I mean, okay, I'll say this: truly better. They could be different tasting than regular tongue oysters. Yeah, but when they told me that, like, hey, Sean, these from like up in Mississippi Sound taste differently from one from Navy Cove, I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, it's all the same water, whatever, but it's not, right? You know that some areas green up quicker, some stay muddier longer, those kind of things. I went into it cynically, and they really did. I was impressed. We got some really cool oyster farms around here. And do yourself a favor. You go to this event, or you just get some local craft oysters. Eat some of them before you dredge them in cocktail. I mean, just that's like when I do those for the Christmas party and all that, I make sure, like, okay, you can have what you want, but first, I got to watch you eat a couple here without any stuff on them. And people are like, man, they are so good. I'm like, uh-huh. All right. Let's see. Gosh, where did I leave off here? I guess we were talking about burning the flag, I think. Yeah, okay, that one. Then this texture. Gosh, this goes back a while. So I'm sorry. Some of this stuff is over almost an hour old here. So I don't go back to that stuff. Maybe we do. Let's see. Ultra Runner says many are blaming inflammatory rhetoric, but I think the deeper problem on the left is, so this is about the Charlie Kirk stuff. The deeper problem on the left is mental illness. The few moderates that remain in the social sciences are linking cluster B personality disorders to the abhorrent behavior of the left. Antisocial, histrionic, narcissistic, and borderline disorders occur disproportionately on the left. Okay. This texture said, my death penalty discussion said, it is a, or is this a unnamed texture? Is this, I don't know who this is. But yeah, said it should be 100% deterrent from reoffending. Yeah, that's true. On death penalty, that person doesn't reoffend. Hey, I'm not for letting them out. I'm for, you know, putting certain people in that situation, put them in prison the rest of your life. It's the, and it has absolutely happened in our country. When you have circumstantial evidence, people get put in prison, and we have executed in this nation people that were innocent of the crime they were convicted of. And I'm not cool with that. But like in a case like we're talking about that dirtbag, you know, killing that woman on the train, or we got an admission here from the dirtbag that killed Charlie Kirk. It's just I don't think the death penalty, and I do not think it's the deterrent. I know a lot of y'all on the text line. I get it. This is a good debate to have. I don't think it's the deterrent people think it is. I think it's a way to seek justice. But if it was a deterrent, I just don't think the average person, well, they're not average person, the dirtbag that's going to go murder somebody goes, well, let me sit here with the back of the envelope and figure out the pros and cons of committing murder. I just don't think they do it. All right, this texture says, free speech as a right doesn't mean you protect only the speech you like, but especially the speech you do not like or find abhorrent. I agree with you, texture. David said, I agree with you on the death penalty. We need it because some people just need to be unalived, but it needs to be infrequent and only in cases where it's beyond all doubt. Let's see here. Alligator questions. Don't get me started on alligators. I'm still... goofed around last night and didn't. Yeah, I've got like 2 nights left for gator season to fill some tags. I may not. I may eat tag soup this year on gator hunts. So we'll see. I'm getting tired. The all night long gator hunting thing is not really conducive to a guy that starts yawning at about 9:45 in the evening. Let's see. Old Drink Slinger said, I served a lot of oysters from Barataria Bay, I think in Texas, in the 80s and 90s. Barataria, there may be one in Texas. I'm ignorant. The Barataria I'm familiar with is in Louisiana, which is there at like Grand Isle, Louisiana. Caught a lot of redfish and speckled trout there, Barataria. But there may be one in Texas. I don't know, Old Drink Slinger, but I know the one I do know is in Louisiana down by Grand Isle. CB Carl said, Sean, I missed the beginning of the segment about the oyster thing. When and where and how much? Okay, I'll send you the link. Yeah, so it is coming up. It's October 25th. And I think it's $50 for a ticket. And of course, that's your donation, Mobile County Wildlife Association, plus a gajillion oysters. And it's at the ice box. Let me make sure I bring this thing up here. I minimized something on my screen. Now I got to dig around and find it. There it is. Yes, it is the 25th, Saturday, October 25th, from 1 to 4 p.m. at the ice box. You can get your tickets. You can go to Braided River or the Velvet Pig. They have them there. Or you can go to... I'll send you the link for the QR code on this. Or we'll try to get it put on our social media by the weekend here and get it there. I think tickets will go fast on this. All right. Let's see. Maybe bring back hanging and televise it, pay-per-view, and give the proceeds to the victim's family. Okay. Sean, this is Bob from Foley. Is this true? You have to be careful eating oysters from warm water as opposed to oysters from cold water. You know, I think I make sure I don't outstep my knowledge here. So I'm going to, but you know, we were always taught growing up, it was about the R months, right? If the month had a R in it, the name of the month, then it was good for oysters. If it didn't, and you think about the ones that don't, May, June, July, August, right? But you can argue that September is pretty warm, right? So I think it was more back then about the ability to keep oysters cold after harvest, I think. I'm waiting for somebody to correct me, but I think that's the reason why it wasn't so much in the fact that the oyster that you were harvesting had a problem. It was that those months, I think, was harder for them to keep them cold to get them to market. I think. We might have to have a correction on that. But I think that's the move for it. You know, you can get the oysters, and that's one thing, too. It's weird. You can get oysters year-round now, you know, and you have been for quite a while. So I think it's more about the refrigeration, but I know that, listen, I love it. We got people that are oyster farmers that listen to the show, people that are oyster tongers that go to the show, listen to the show. So I know y'all know. Tell me right now so I can get the information to Bob from Foley before we wrap up, which we're about to do. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Hey, join us tomorrow, Mike Ward and I, for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Real treat. And been wanted to get the guy on the show for a long time. Made it happen for tomorrow. Scott Vernon from Bowhunter Pro Shop. The guy is like, talk about archery. Guy's been doing it 40-something years, and really an interesting guy to talk to. He's going to join us tomorrow at 7 o'clock for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, so don't miss that. And also a reminder here, if I don't do it again, I've done it 50 times, it is college pick'em time. Make sure you get your picks in before the games start. Speaking of football, too, Dan and Dalton's football podcast tonight, starting at 8 o'clock right here at FM Talk 106.5. Listen to that tonight at 8 and get ready for a weekend of football in Auburn right here at FM Talk 106.5. Y'all have a great one.